Well, with southeastern Australia in lockdown, pressure is mounting on the Morrison government to bring back JobSeeker. Peter Van Onselen is TEN's political editor and a columnist with the Australian newspaper. Peter, hello there.
Good morning, Fran.
The economy, we've heard repeatedly this morning, almost certainly will shrink in the September quarter. If we get another quarter of negative growth, we're back in recession. Is the government going to have to pump more emergency support, more stimulus there into business and households? And would they even consider these calls for the reintroduction of JobKeeper?
Just quickly, I mean, not wanting to be the kiss of death, but I'm actually not certain it will go backwards in the first of those two quarters, and I certainly don't think it will in the second, but we'll see. Either way, it's certainly
Yeah, I guess none of us are certain, but there's a growing number of economists who are saying the September quarter are predicting it will be negative.
Yeah, look, they are, and understandably so, with, you know, now an increasing number of cities locked down. I'm just not certain that the level of growth will actually go to the point where it completely goes backwards as opposed to become somewhat anemic. But that's a bit of a by the by. Your point, I think, is dead right. The problem is that because of the slowdown and because of the hit to individuals, I do think that the government needs to do more. And it needs to do more this time than it probably needed to do last time. You know, last time, right across the economy, it was able to put all sorts of elements in place, you know, whether it was rent moratoriums or JobKeeper specifically. This time, there are particular sectors that are getting absolutely hammered, whereas there are other sectors that have been able to adapt because of the nature of the work that people do, where they can work from home, for example. But that can't happen in things like the construction sector or retail in particular. And of course, then you've got tourism and aviation, which has been completely catapulted out of any chance of survival. So I think the government needs to do a lot more, whether or not we go into a recession or have one or two quarters of negative economic growth really is immaterial, because some sectors of the economy hanging on now that they've learned to adapt versus others that have no chance. That's where it hits individuals, and the government needs to recognise that.
Well, I mean, the government spent an awful lot of money so far, stimulus, through this pandemic. We've saw the, you know, burgeoning debt and deficit predictions forecasts in the last budget. ERC is meeting today. How much do you think the government's going to be predisposed to opening the purse strings again?
I think they are, but not necessarily because they've seen the economic wisdom of doing so, or because they've got a huge candle out for individuals who are doing it tough, but because there's an election around the corner, Fran. They know that these people vote, and that whether you like it or not, there are huge chunks of the economy that are struggling. And it probably hits a little bit closer to home now for this government, a conservative Liberal government, now that it is small and medium-sized businesses that are going to do it tough as well. So I think they're prepared to throw money around. They're just, you know, biding their time, which we don't have. There's no time for businesses that are doing it tough. But they're biding their time trying to get the package right and trying to work out where to offer extra assistance. The one thing I don't think is a barrier for them is you know, this notion of fiscal conservatism. That has well and truly gone out the window.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Fiscal conservatism and lockdown conservatism. I think it's, we now know, we can see, and the Prime Minister and we've seen the New South Wales Premier shift here, this notion of, you know, partial lockdowns, trying to keep the economy rolling. I mean, the Delta variant has put paid to that, hasn't it?
Oh, look, if it hasn't put paid to it, it certainly should have. We've got a classic...
It was a mistake.
Oh, classic experiment now where we can see the mistake made by Gladys Berejiklian. And look, to be fair to her, a lot of people were egging her on.
For sure.
If you could control it, because it would be better for everyone's lifestyle. But we now know you can't. And at the end of the day, just as you were discussing with your previous guest, I think lockdowns are with us until we're vaccinated sufficiently that we can get rid of them and sort of deal with the virus ripping through the community in a way that hopefully doesn't cause too many deaths and serious illness.
And PVO, just briefly, the Prime Minister's back in Canberra, but he's in a sort of a bubble within a bubble. He's severely restricted where he can go. Anthony Albanese, on the other hand, is moving around a lot. Yesterday he tweeted, Australia's locked down in three states and the PM hasn't been seen in 3 days. Is that fair? How much of an advantage do circumstances give Anthony Albanese, just briefly?
Yeah, sure. I think it's a huge advantage. I think it's half fair because the Prime Minister does go missing from time to time, but by the same token, he's locked down because he came back to Sydney to see his family. I'm not too critical of that, but it's all advantage to Anthony Albanese. He took the opportunity not to come back. He stayed in regional New South Wales. He went up to Queensland. He's now as free as a bird, so good luck to him politically.
Peter, thank you very much.
Good to chat.
Peter Van Onselen, Professor of Politics at Griffith University and the Uni of WA.